Are you ready for more independence as a financial advisor? Consider the RIA model. Schwab Advisor Services has helped thousands of advisors make the move. To find your path, start with Schwab at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths today.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
I try to live my life every day. Keep out of strife. Come what may, I try to do unto others as I'd have unto to me. But it can't be done for everyone, and now it's plain to see. You are a cunt. Facade, and now I see, dearie me, what a hassle this would be.
Big hassle.
I'm out of luck, don't give a fuck, cause you're the cunt, not me.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, dickhead?
You are a cunt, 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 big fat stinking cunt.
You cunt.
Said in true but in a town, you're a motherfucking cunt. You are a cunt, 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 motherfucking cunt. Everybody knows from your head to your toes, you're a big fat stinking cunt. Why don't you shut that scabby to be real nice, say it twice, good advice, even though it's futile, fucking imbecile. I don't know why I try to deny this nagging itch. You maniac, gonna get you back, you fucking son of a bitch. You are a cunt, 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 a big fat stinking cunt. Say it ain't true when you tell me you're a motherfucking cunt. You are a cunt, 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 motherfucking cunt. Everybody knows from your head to your toes, you're a big fat stinking cunt.
Ooh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's the Conspiracy Underground, also known as the Conspiracy Underground News Team. I want you to sit back, relax if you can. Sometimes when people are listening, they might be driving, but do the best you can and get a kick and a little sense of funny that you can get out of the news with yours truly and the right lip. Okay? That's me and Ryan, Ghost and Ryan. The left lip and the right lip here doing it on the Conspiracy Underground. Thank you for all your support. Wait till the end. You can find out how to support us even further. But without further ado, I say, why wait for anything else other than we just jump right into what you're here for? And that is the news. So again, thank you for all your support. Thank you for sending in everything that you guys do. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Or Thursday. You never know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Conspiracy Underground. We are the Conspiracy Underground News Team and the Tag Team Champions of the podcast world. I'm the Lunatic Fringe Left Lip Ghost, and with me as always is the Radical One, the Right Lip, Ryan motherfucking Dean, where he's hailing from parts unknown, and when he's down in the bowels of Texas looking for the next state challenge to conquer. How are you, my friend? You turned your mic off. Your mic's off. Yep. So, yeah, having technical difficulties here. Ryan's mic isn't working, and he's going to bounce out and bounce back in. So I will keep it down and jiggy for a minute. We do apologize. We were off the air for the last 2 weeks.
Now how are we?
You sound like you're on your computer microphone.
Okay. Well, we'll get this figured out. We'll get this sorted right out. Just keep going with what you were doing.
So I was just apologizing to the listeners that we took 2 weeks off. This past week, my daughter graduated from college, and I got back from a trip and was stranded in Florida for a day or two, and was t- Till I got home, I was up for about 26 hours straight and was hallucinating a little bit in the last, couple hours before my drive home from the airport and what have you. But I made it home, slept all day the next day, and I told Ryan, I was like, hey, we were supposed to go on a show together. I had to tap out. And I hadn't been up that long since I was probably in my early 20s, late teens when I was in the Air Force. So, yeah, it was a good time, though. It was a good time, all in all. Missed you, buddy.
I missed you, too. I know I still sound like shit, but we're going to try and get this thing sorted out. I know it's a great way to come back after fucking, what, was it 2 or 3 weeks that we missed?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So, just go in your audio settings and just make sure you're hooked to the...
Well, yeah, I slid over my Rodecaster 1 inch and it just shit the bed. So we'll just see. You know, it's turning back on, so we're going to see what's going to happen here. I hear myself in my headphones.
Yeah, it's a little echoey. It's probably how I sounded the last time we recorded.
Yeah, it's your turn to be the one that's really carrying us through this here.
Well, we can do that. Made some good food for my daughter's graduation. Made up a whole bunch of fresh meatballs, homemade Italian, marinara sauce. I think you're back.
There we go.
There you go. You're back. So, yeah, made up a whole shit ton of meatballs, and they were tasty. And they were the only thing that had flavor at the graduation dinner party.
I mean, you're getting a little snobby with flavored food, I feel like. You go to one food truck thing, you go to one food truck, and you just think that you're, you have been a good chef for quite some time, but...
I have.
I mean, did you talk about the food truck?
I didn't go to any food truck.
I thought you went to one food truck.
I was going to try and make it down that way, but I didn't have time in the schedule to get there. Okay. It was a little further than what I was thinking away. So maybe next time if I ever get back down to Florida. I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't nervous to fly. I was more nervous going through the airport because the last time I flew, TSA did not exist.
Yeah, yeah. The colored TV had also not come out before you flew last time.
Yeah, right? Very, so very true. Thanks, Dick.
It's weird, dude. It's strange, the whole thing with TSA. I always opt for the pat down. I don't like to walk through the thing, and I want to make sure that it's a dude patting me down.
Touch my junk, bitch.
Yeah, if you take like one of those boner pills before you get on there too, so you just got a rock hard dick and you're just getting pat down by a dude, it's uncomfortable for everybody, but it's fun.
Yeah, he's like, put your bag up here and your shoes and everything will be on the other side. I looked down and said, I gotta take my shoes off. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. Hey. Oh, okay.
You could have a bomb in your shoes.
I could. It first time, but once I got on the plane, man, it was great. It was just like back in the day. It reminded me when I was in the Air Force, taking off and, landing and all that. So it was pretty good trip. For the ending and going from the East Coast of Florida all the way over to the Gulf Coast just to get out of Florida. It was a fun time. Good adventure.
Were you being that guy with your friend that was just dropping facts about planes while you guys were on the plane?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, well, that's good.
I don't know too many facts about planes. I worked on fighter jets, so.
You could just be like, yeah, these aren't as fast as the ones I used to work on.
True.
It's always cool just to flex in front of your boys.
Be like, the jet I worked on went over Mach 2, bitch. We ain't even doing Mach 1.
What is the highest Mach is Mach 3 that we've traveled, right?
Officially on record.
Officially on record. So yeah, there's more shit, obviously,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the SR-71, the official top speed was right around 2.5, almost 3 Mach. But there's reports of people that worked on it and flew in it that it did it much faster. There's rumors that it could make it from the East Coast to from New York to California in like an hour and a half.
Wow. That's fascinating stuff. Yeah. I do want to roll through the intro kind of quick because we got a lot of clips sent to us over the last 2 weeks. And then, this is going to be a relatively short episode compared to what we usually do just to get back into the swing of things, and then we're going to be back in full schedule, next week following. So we should be good to go. But did you get into anything else you want to talk about? I just did my normal old shit. I watched UFC, had a good time, and we did the Mother's Day thing. And it was pretty chill last couple weeks for me.
Yeah, you said you went to your mom liked the Italian food?
Yeah, she's a big fan of Italian food. Likes this one particular place called Caruso's. Shout out to Caruso's. But yeah, man,
they listen every week.
Huh?
They listen every week. They're one of our biggest listeners.
Big sponsor of the show. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great establishment there. They're doing it right. But they did fuck up my order, and I'm still kind of salty about that. But, you know, it's fine.
That sucks. I got some good seafood when I was down in Florida. I got some good crab, some shrimp. What else did I get? There was shrimp. There is crab.
There was shrimp. There was crab.
I'm trying to remember. Dude, it feels like so long ago.
Dude, I feel like that every day. Like when I wake up in the morning sometimes, I feel like the shit that I did that morning, I did yesterday morning.
Right. Yeah.
It's strange.
But yeah, I can't remember what all was in the platter. It was kind of like a little boil. They put a hard-boiled egg in their boil down there.
That's gross.
Different, but it was good. There was shrimp. There was crab. There was sausage.
Okay.
Trying to think. There was one. Oh, and we got fried catfish. That was one.
Shrimp and crab, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Those things
are
in there.
Yeah, shrimp and crab. And yeah, I learned seafood is not real food.
I mean, shellfish is kind of gross, if you think about it, but I'm a big fan.
I love it.
Yeah. Oysters, too. I don't know if you consider that a shellfish. I think that's something different. What do they call those? It's like a...
crustacean, maybe?
A crustacean?
No, I don't think it's crustacean. I don't know. It's an oyster. I love them.
Okay.
I didn't get any down there, which, no biggie. I have a restaurant right down here in town that has really good fresh oysters. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of shit happened in the last couple of weeks that we weren't talking on here. We got a new pope. I think that was new. That was during our time off, mm-hmm. right? He's from Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. You know,
he loves sausage. He loves a lot of things down there. Oh, nice. He likes the Sox. You know, if they like the White Sox or the Red Sox, if they call it Sox or Sax. Sox is like Boston Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chicago White Sox are the Sax.
Sox.
Yeah. So, you know, that's interesting. This is, I guess, he's the first American pope.
Does he speak English?
Yeah, he speaks English.
Oh, okay.
Fuck yeah, from Chicago?
What the fuck you think?
Don't you know? He speaks fucking English there. But so you got this dude from Chicago doing this shit. Very interesting guy. I guess the Jews in Israel also made Pope their Messiah. I have a clip on that.
What?
That we can play here in a little bit. But also the Kentucky Derby happened. I want to lead with this because I found this to be interesting. What's the most famous racehorse or horse in the world? Do you know any horses' names?
There was a couple movies made. What was this? Disney had one a few years ago.
There's one that starts with an S that I'm looking for.
Sagittarius. Yeah, it's something along those lines.
Secretariat.
That's it.
Exactly. I knew that's what you were gonna say. So this is just kind of cool, man. I don't know. I didn't watch the full clip. I just was like, yeah, this is perfect. This is right up because this is almost like nepotism, but for horses.
Okay. Right? I didn't even know the Kentucky Derby went down.
I'm not a big fan of it, which you'd think I would be with like all my betting that I like to mm-hmm. do, but I really only like betting on NFL and UFC.
Right.
And, you know, if I get like a real degenerate phase going, I'll bet on some baseball. But I've found that betting on things that you don't really understand are tough. And I understand baseball, but I don't know any of the players on any of the teams. I wear Diamondbacks hats every week and I can't name a fucking player on the team. I think there's one that his last name's Longoria. I don't know his first name.
Eva.
And I don't know if he's still playing. Evan?
Eva.
No, I don't think that's her, but
I only know one baseball player off the top of my head, and that's Kirby Snead.
Well, yeah, because Kirby's been on the show.
Right.
But that's the only, and I like that he appreciated my take on baseball.
Oh, really, absolutely.
So I challenge, again, I don't know if Hank's on because, you know, we're starting a little different time, but whenever I rail on baseball athleticism, I get a bunch of hate from people, but I think a lot of baseball players would feel the same way. It's like, no, it's more of a skill. It's not mm-hmm. really a,
not you a know, sport.
It's not an athletic competition. I mean,
fuck, they wear hand protectors now.
So they wear hand protectors?
Yeah, for when they
softball?
Yeah, for when they slide. I'm like, what the when did we get this soft? There's no crying in baseball.
What?
There's no crying in baseball.
There is sometimes. They've allowed a little bit of crying in baseball now.
Mm.
But let's roll into this clip here because I want to just start these clips. And like I have, so like I said, we had fucking, 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to thank the people that sent things in. I'm not going to get to all your clips. If you had something that you thought was real good, feel free to, you know, send it in again. But I want to thank the people that did send things. Jarl from Canada, Michael, Hank and Kyle, Daryl, Victoria, Tyson.
Ooh.
There you go. Brandon, Looking for Strange, Ken, Steven. And I think that's where we end. No, it looks like Davey sent something as well. Oh, yeah, he just sent a couple goofy ones. Matthew, of course. Rodney, sorry, I almost cut off a lot of people. Alex, Diane, Juan, and this is the ones that I started not getting into.
We do a lot. I haven't heard Diane's name mentioned in a long time.
Who?
Diane.
Yeah, she used to send a lot of things in, and then she kind of just stopped, I think, because she used to be like a big like Patreon supporter.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why people are not really on Patreon for mine anymore, because I'm not putting out much shit like I used to. You know, I used to do 4 fucking episodes a week. And now the two of us, you used to do 1 or 2, mm-hmm. right?
Well, there and for a while, I had three different, almost 4 different shows going.
Okay. Well, yeah. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, I get why people are being like, well, yeah, I was paying this dude $10 a month and now he's not putting shit out. So to the ones that are still doing it, I very much appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm going to get back into it full force or anything. I'd like to, but it's tough. You know, like I have a life that I enjoy a lot much more now.
Yeah, seriously.
Than I did.
Same.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, being with good people and being, you know, having a job that you enjoy, it makes you not want to escape. And my escape was doing the podcast mm-hmm. back then. So it was a lot more active when my life sucked.
I never thought there would be a day like the one time. And we had 2 people fill in for when your dad was in the hospital, didn't want to cancel the show. And then things just kind of changed. Like, I never thought I'd see a day where we'd be like, hey, we're just not going to record cunt this week. And here we did it 2 weeks in a row, which usually one. Now, Joe, the first week, he's like, where's my cunt? Da, 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 da. And, you know, I forgot to tell him, you know, hey, I'm traveling for work, yada, yada, yada. But it's what it is.
We also need to check in with people when we're about to take a break because, you know, the listeners of both of our shows were very loyal listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they get a little upset when they don't get their fix.
And I forget, you know, we're human too. You know, we have our day-to-day lives that, you know, we go to work and shit happens. And you get busy, you forget. I haven't been that active on Instagram. I haven't been posting much in a long time. I got to get better at that. You know, we're human. We drop the ball. It's all right.
I mean, dude, I just don't have as much of an interest in it anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
I do like doing this show. I like keeping in contact with a lot of the cool people. Victoria, thank you for, you know, she actually, she had messaged, she sends in, she's like one of the biggest contributors to the show. I got several clips that she sent in. And she was like, I was worried about you guys, you know, because like, you know, we're pretty silent on social media anyway. And then, you know, not doing 2 episodes. She thought that we both were in a plane together and got in a crash or something, I feel like. So we're here. We're good. And, you know, you should have your daily, or I should say weekly news show moving forward.
Oh,
and absolutely. Then we'll try to announce, you know, if we can't do a week.
Absolutely.
I think we should do that.
We can
go with the listeners.
Yeah.
All right.
It's hard carrying these belts around. You know, there's so much responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah, it's tough. I actually thought, I mean, someone sent this in. I can't even say I thought of this before. I keep saying we're going to roll into the first clip and then we just keep bullshitting. But there's this person that makes all kinds of cups that say cunt on the inside of the cup. So like when you finish your coffee, you uh-huh. see like cunt or like you're a cunt or such a cunt and like all these things. That might be a nice idea for an Etsy store for us.
Oh, okay.
Just do like dishware and like classy, you know, china and things like that. That say cunt all over them. And then maybe it can say Conspiracy Underground News Team somewhere so that people understand we're not trying to be edgy. This is just something that worked itself into our work here.
You will be proud of me. I represented the G.I. Joe themed t-shirt when I was in Florida in the hotel room.
Phenomenal.
And went down to the bar with a lot of the other coworkers and they're looking. I was like, I could have wore the other one. It just says cunt on it. And they're like, dude, you should have. And I was like, well, I didn't know. I don't want to offend anybody. You know,
oh, people were asking about it?
Yeah, because, well, they saw a Conspiracy nice. Underground News team, and they're like, that looks kind of, I was like, it's a G.I. Joe theme. They're like, I said, my co-host made it, and da-da-da-da-da. Just kind of
didn't fucking say my name or anything,
no,
did you?
No,
why not? I mean, why can't you just be like, yeah, Ryan made that?
Well, I didn't know.
You gotta keep me. You just want the spotlight.
No,
I want to be famous. You tell me all the time.
Yeah, that's true. But and then it just kind of led into the conversation. It said the first one that he designed is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle theme, and it just says "cunt" right across it, like big and bold. And they're like, "Man, you should have wore that. That's fucking awesome." I was like, "Yeah, but you know, this is for work. Yeah, I get it. We're not on shift right now. We're sitting here drinking some beers, but." You never know who might get offended.
I mean, it's a violent word. I think it's a beautiful word, but it is one of those things where it's like, ooh, yeah, it's rough. It's rough on the ears for people that aren't used to hearing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All right, for reals this time, let's roll into this first clip. This was the thing. I talked about the Kentucky Derby, and I don't know. I didn't watch this whole clip, but I thought this was just a fun one. Again, nepotism for horses here. And I think this is just like, you know, something right up our alley. So I need to remember how to do this. We got to make sure that we mute myself while we're going. And here's the first clip of the day.
The wildest Kentucky Derby stat that's ever come into the sport. Every single horse racing in this year's Kentucky Derby, they're all related. They're all cousins. And the guy at the top that they all descend from, every single one, is Secretariat. Just GOAT level achievement from the 1973 Triple Crown winner. And turns out he's the Genghis Khan of thoroughbreds. Every horse that's racing in the Derby, they're 3 years old at the time of the race. And it turns out thoroughbred racehorses typically breed between the age of 3 and 6. For easy math, let's just say every 5 years there's a new generation, and he won the Triple Crown 50 years ago, so it's probably 10 generations, 10 great-great-great-great-grandpas between him and the racehorses this year. So while they all are related, you know, you go 10 levels in a family tree, it starts getting pretty wide at that point. So they're not first cousins, but still insane. And after he won the Triple Crown by an estimated 31 lengths, you had to know his DNA was elite. But how about putting together a family reunion 50 years later, and that family reunion turns into the actual Kentucky Derby? Because that's what this is. This year's Derby is a Secretariat family reunion. No wonder Disney made a movie about this guy. Put this as another notch on his belt for the greatest thoroughbred horse of all time. This has to be the wildest Kentucky.
That's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that nuts? Now, he didn't really go through it, right? Like, right. I was hoping like he could be like, yeah, but that would be like a fucking hour-long video where he's like, this horse bred with this horse. And then so he might be just saying it, right? He might be being like, you know, little clickbaity action, but I thought that was, you know, just the idea of that would be cool. And I don't think it's that crazy if you won it by 30 links, he said, the first time. So like 30 horse sizes, I'm assuming that means.
My mom's sister, my aunt and uncle, I was really little. I don't know if they really got big into horse racing, but I know they used to breed and raise thoroughbreds.
Thoroughbreds, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the Cadillac of fucking horses, I guess.
Yeah.
I like Clydesdales.
Oh, they're beautiful.
You know, they're giant, too, aren't they? Fucking yeah. Huge.
Dude, their hooves are about the size of your head.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I like them, I guess. Okay, so this podcast, they come out, you know, they have some good clips every once in a while. I don't remember what this is off the top of my head. Like I said, there's a lot of prep that goes into the show. And by that, I mean about an hour beforehand, I'm scrambling, going through what you guys have sent to try and pick out the, sort the wheat from the chaff and get, you know, the shit that we want on here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember what this is, but this podcast always has some cool clips, and, we can see what this is. And then afterwards I'll remind you guys why I selected it, but right. Here we go.
Have you guys heard about the Mountain Dew conspiracy?
No.
There's always been that conspiracy of like Mountain Dew flavors like coincide with like big major events. They had something with Maui that went and the Maui fires happened, right? Last year they brought back the pitch black, and then we had like the biggest IT blackout of all time.
Oh my gosh.
And there was another one, the tropical flavor, and it was like the tropical swirl. And then we had all those crazy hurricanes.
Is there one with Code Red?
I can't remember if there was, but then they brought a star spangled splash flavor for 4th of July last year. And then, no joke, later on, that bridge collapsed. But guess what the name of the bridge was called? Francis Scott Key. The guy who wrote the Star Spangled Banner. Isn't that wild? And so they just released a new flavor. Purple Thunder is the new flavor.
Purple Thunder?
Purple?
I do have the Code Red conspiracy.
Code Red was only a few months before 9/11 when it debuted.
No way.
That's insane.
Kind of crazy.
Mondo is owned by Pepsi, correct?
Yes.
And we do know that Pepsi worked with the CIA that one time to overthrow the Chilean government.
Yeah.
Does the CIA work with Pepsi?
I mean, I think it's confirmed at this point. I don't think we have to even... Have you guys...
So we know about the Mountain Dew conspiracy, right? Like that they do release these flavors. I didn't know about Code Red.
I didn't either.
So I, you know, Code Red being released just a few months before 9/11 happened, and then all these other things, like and the Baja Blast.
Code Red was the first off-brand flavor.
Yeah.
That actually came out and stayed.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge one, dude. People still drink Code Red. I mean, it's one of the bigger ones today still.
I drink it now and again. I'm a Baja Blast guy.
Yeah. Well, that's the Mexican in you.
That is the Mexican in me. You every night, baby.
Yeah, I was going to say meaning me. So the other part that I didn't know, and I'm surprised I didn't know this, is that Pepsi helped the CIA overthrow the Chilean government.
I didn't know that either.
That's fucking wild.
That's
like,
crazy.
I kind of actually want to... I want to look into that right now while we're on air. Did you have any clips that you had? You said no.
I have absolutely none.
Okay. Well, I'm just looking this up on air here. Pepsi helped CIA overthrow the Chilean government. Is that what you said? Overthrow.
I wonder if when Baja Blast came out, if there was any events, because they didn't mention that.
Baja is in California area. Baja Blast. Maybe it had something to do with like some of the fires.
I don't know. That's very Baja is very Southern California, very deserty.
Yeah, it's Mexico, really.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so while PepsiCo didn't directly overthrow the Chilean government, its CEO Donald Kendall played a role in influencing the U.S. government's actions that contributed to the 1973 coup. Here's a breakdown. Kendall's relationship with Nixon and concerns about Allende or Allende. I'm not sure who the fuck that is, but I'm assuming the president or the leader of Chile at the time. So the CEO of Pepsi was a friend and former lawyer for President Richard Nixon. That's interesting on itself. Kendall, along with the U.S. corporations, expressed concerns about the potential impact of Salvador Allende's socialist policies and their investments in Chile. So according to reports, Kendall contacted Nixon and urged him to take action against Allende's government. Following discussions with Kendall, Chilean businessman Augustin Edwards, Nixon reportedly instructed the CIA to explore ways to prevent Allende from taking office. So the CEO of Pepsi, who was Richard Nixon's lawyer at the time, or beforehand, before, you know, he was CEO of Pepsi, went in and said, hey, you need to fucking figure out how to keep this guy from getting into office. Or taking him out of office. I'm kind of retarded. That's kind of wild. That clip was a little quiet. Or your sound bite. That's better. All right. Where do we want to go from here? Do we want to go... I mean, we can go a lot of different ways.
Do we have anything sexual?
Do I have anything sexual? No.
I was just kidding.
I know you like that kind of stuff. But...
There was big news this week in the baseball world. Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson got taken off the banned list because they're dead now and they can be inducted to the Hall of Fame.
What'd they get banned for?
Now, Pete Rose was banned for betting. Lifetime ban for betting.
Oh, that's stupid.
Oh, yeah, it was completely stupid. And he wasn't even betting on his own team.
You should be able to bet on your own team or bet, like, even if you're a fighter, you should be able to bet on yourself. I think if you bet against yourself, that should be fun. And you should have to report when you're betting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just like insiders. Like, I feel like, you know, politicians should have to report on what they bet.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of social media accounts that put that shit on blast, and I don't know how they get that information. Maybe it is public information, but yeah, dude, like, dude, if I'm going into a fight, if you and I are going to fight, let's just fantasize here and pretend that we're, you know, prize fighters and we're making, you know, $50 million for a boxing match because that's the only kind of people that really make that kind of money. Like, dude, I think I should be able to bet on myself to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
If I bet on you and we're like, hey, let's both bet on you to get a round three knockout and just fucking crack me. I'm going to drop my lead hand and just throw one right down the pipe and I'm going to eat it and not get up. That would be fucked up.
Right.
Right.
But if I'm betting on myself, you're betting on yourself. I think that that's kind of what you're doing just by stepping into like a ring or a cage or whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. And nowadays, how many players get a little suspension for betting? Oh, we're just going to suspend you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It is strict. You know, it's very strict. The rules are like, you know, I can't bet on BKFC stuff. I can't bet on, you know, anything with that. So I get it. But at the same time, like, I've made predictions in my head and I'm looking at shit and I'm like, this dude's going to win. This dude's going to win. This dude's going to win. And I'm like half right on them because mm-hmm. it's such an unpredictable fucking sport.
Right.
So I and feel like
speaking of BKFC, I ran into, you don't know him personally, but one of your fellow employees in Tampa flying back.
Yeah, dude, that was so random. And then I sent that to a dude with that I work with and he was like, oh yeah, that's so-and-so. And I thought it was pretty funny, man. So they actually
because it was crazy because that flight was going into Philly, and then I had to catch another flight. But they're right outside of Philly, you know, is the headquarters.
Yeah.
So
that would have been awesome if you go up, you ask him if he knows who I am. He's like, no, never heard of that.
Never heard of that faggot.
No one knows me there. It's almost like I don't really work there. All right, let's go into what is this
if
clip?
I just wanted to see.
Okay, this is an interesting one. This is a Jewish rabbi talking about how Hitler was right about very interesting. And I've been seeing a lot of shit. Like, have you seen Kanye West's new song that he's coming out with? That Heil blank. You haven't?
No.
Oh, I mean, I'd love to play it on here, but it's not something that you play around with. But basically, Kanye has a song that's, I don't know if it's dropped already or if it, I mean, I'm not a big Kanye fan anymore, but I used to be.
Old Kanye was good.
Old Kanye is some of the best music around, like ever. You know what I mean? Like the Graduation album, Late Registration. I even liked 808s and Heartbreak. You know, like all that stuff was really good, I thought. But that's also when I was in high school, you know, like middle school, high school. Mm-hmm. There was the whole thing that him and 50 Cent did where it was like the first person or the last person to sell a million records had to retire from rapping. And they both sold just a shitload of albums. 50 Cent sold a million before he did.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, them two are like voices of like my generation as far as hip hop goes, I would say. But yeah, so there's been a lot of this stuff coming around about this kind of awakening to Zionism, which is different than being anti-Semitic, mm-hmm. right? If you're anti-Semitic, you just hate Jewish people, and you're not about that whole thing. It's what that's the way I take it. Maybe I'm not looking at it the right way. I know Jewish people, and I've met some really kind Jewish people. I you know, if you have a job, you probably work for a Jewish person, you know. So
I don't think I know any Jewish people, to be honest with you.
Ron Weed.
Ron's Jewish? Weed.
Yeah, I mean, he said that the other day. And yeah, he agrees. He was like, yeah, dude, there's some fucked up stuff with like the Zionists, like the loyal people to Zionism.
When did he say that?
When we were playing video games.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. Okay, so, all right, there's one. I meant like in my personal like bubble here where I live, like there's not a big Jewish community here. I went to school with one kid that was Jewish.
Well, I think, too, there's a difference between, like, the religion and, like, the cultural Jewish people, right? So, again, like, this is never meant to sound like anything hateful or anything like that. It's just, it's interesting, when this comes up. And Kanye was reading a thing on his live X feed or whatever it was, where some rabbi back during when, like shortly after Hitler moved to Argentina, because that's a bona fide fact now that mm-hmm. he was not killed. Did you see that came out where, we never killed Hitler. He moved to Argentina and we basically let him go because the United States government was fucking helping him. Like mm-hmm. they wanted a lot of that shit to actually manifest, and it helped get their goal of creating Israel to come to fruition too. So, I mean, if you don't, I know a lot of the people in, you know, our audience would know that, like, about Brown Brothers Harriman, George Bush's dad, George H.W. Bush's dad, Prescott Bush, worked for a bank called Brown Brothers Harriman that, like, held money for the Nazis and did work with the Nazis, and it was a huge Nazi bank.
Same with Henry Ford and Walt Disney.
Henry Ford, Walt Disney, massive, massive Nazi supporter was Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the lines were kind of blurred back then. And now once they lose, now they're the bad guys, right? We all know Hitler was Time's Man of the Year before. I know you're about to say that, right? I mean, like, that's like the big thing.
Yeah. And history is always written by the victor.
Exactly. So if the Nazis would have won, the United States and the Allies would have been the bad guys. Mm-hmm. But either way, they kind of had, you know, their dicks in both pots, and it worked out no matter what. So with that, this is an interesting thing that just more and more this is coming about. Oh, sorry, I'm all over the place here. But what I was saying about Hitler was that there was a rabbi back then that was saying and writing down that once everyone figures out that what Hitler was trying to do was right. Now, keep in mind, this is a Jewish rabbi saying this. Once everyone figures out that what Hitler was trying to do was for the greater good, World War III is going to start.
Oh,
okay. Now, this isn't me saying this because this is touchy stuff. This is Kanye reading his thing. We all know Kanye's crazy and all this shit. But he was citing his facts and he was citing all this stuff.
I'll play the advocate like I always do. Is he just made to look crazy?
Well, that's the thing. It's hard to know. I think if you come out with the song with that, I think it's called Heil the Guy, you know? So it's kind of tough and it looks crazy. He does a lot of crazy shit. He talked about how he got fucked by his cousin, or he sucked his cousin's dick
for like 15 years. Yes. Okay. This was right before I left for Florida.
Yeah. And then, you know, he goes out and shows off his hot ass wife just butt naked. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, I mean, I get
I'm
that.
Sorry.
Dude, yeah.
I would never do that to my wife, anybody that I've ever dated. Hell no. That's for my eyes only. Like,
dude, I get mad if I think about that my girlfriend's had sex before meeting me. If I get mad about that if I think about it for too fucking long. So right. I would never want someone to be like, hey, check out my girlfriend's banging ass body. It's like, no, dude, that's for you to fucking see. So anyway, he's definitely, he does some weird shit, but this is an interesting clip here. So you can see this Jewish rabbi talking about this whole thing that we were just kind of getting into. Here we go.
If anyone ever read Mein Kampf from Hitler, Hitler tells the world why he hates Jews. He says the Jews created communism. Jews are taking advantage of you. And people said, how? He says the Jews are the ones that are in control of all of the banks that are lending you with high interest. And everybody said yes. Why? Because it was true. The Jews destroyed the economy in Germany by simply lending money with high interest. People that cannot meet this demand, the business is not growing as high as they thought it was going to grow, ended up closing down shop and saying, listen, I'm defaulting and declare bankruptcy. I have to start all over. 500 years before that in Spain, the same thing happened. 900 years in England, it happened. 1186. The Jewish people were doing really well financially. Primary business, lending money, ignoring the Torah rules. One day, the leader of the place goes on vacation. They're going to decide to start mass murdering Jewish people in the streets. Why? We're tired of paying you interest. We're tired of doing this. This Rabotai Karim is repeating the same story over and over again. If anyone ever...
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I mean, it comes down to money, just like a lot of the world's problems do. And with banking... That is, you know, the Rothschilds essentially, I mean, not even essentially, it's pretty much a fact that the Rothschilds started modern day banking, right?
Right.
Banking was around before them, but it was different. And I believe in the Torah, it says that you can charge interest to, what do they call us, Gentiles?
Yeah.
You can charge interest to Gentiles, but if you charge interest to a fellow Jew, that is forbidden. Like, that's a horrible thing to do. You're a piece of shit if you charge another Jewish person interest. So... there's just a lot of these things that I'm confused about. I would like to know more. I think it's okay to ask the questions, right? Like, you're not, neither one of us are banging the drum.
No. If you're not asking questions, trying to get educated on any topic, no matter how taboo it could be, then you're just a fucking moron, because you gotta learn history from both sides in order to put an educated, I don't know, thought together, whether your thought, what you come up with, could be wrong in the public eye, but maybe later down the road, everybody comes to the same conclusion eventually.
Right.
You know, sometimes it all depends. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm always questioning religion and stuff like that. I question everything, dude. Like, I want to know. I want to learn.
Yeah, I mean, I am in the same camp. It's just one of, I mean, I think that's why you and I talk so much.
I thought it was my pretty face.
Yeah, well, you are a good looking man, but that's not why I like you.
Okay.
You know, it's your personality.
Oh, okay. You love me for my personality.
Exactly. Okay. What is, what's Victoria saying? Untrue, that may be said in the Talmud. I think that's what I was trying to refer to. Did I say something else? Because I was talking about their book.
What did you?
Torah.
You the Torah called is what it I the said. Torah. Yeah.
Sorry. The Talmud. I get those two confused. So thanks for correcting there. But yeah, it's just something that I am very interested in. I want to know more. And it seems like it is coming back, unfortunately, for certain people. It seems like that awakening or that realization that, yeah, maybe some things were not what we were told they were. I've been getting just so many clips on it. And I'm, you know, I know that when you click a clip, it like feeds you more of those same kind of clips.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing here that I can try to read through, but I want to bounce back to that because you said something that was really good about, you know, if you're not doing your own research, you're just stupid.
Right.
And well, this why, is,
while you're looking for that, I just have to take a quick time out. Cause we were all over the place bullshitting in the beginning. I forgot to tell you, I watched two new movies this weekend.
Ooh,
well, one this past weekend and one, what night was it? Monday or Tuesday night? The one I watched over the weekend, I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. It's called Sweet Girl. It stars Jason Momoa in it. Okay. You can say whatever about him. Just watch the fucking movie, because it's going to come to a point in the movie you're just going to be like, what the fuck?
What's this movie called again?
Sweet Girl.
Is it like, what's it about? What's the plot?
So the plot is, he's married and has a daughter. They're really close family. Mom ends up getting cancer and dying, and he's stuck raising, you know, his girl, and he comes to find out that the life-saving experimental drug that could have probably saved her life was pulled, and politics were involved, and it just goes down that gambit of rabbit hole. And then at one point you're just like, holy fuck, I did not see that coming.
Well, I mean, we'll have to look into it.
And the other
Hank just texted me actually, and he was like, are you and Ghost okay? And yeah, man, we're good. We just had to take a break. Like we're next time we have to take a break.
Yeah.
For scheduling reasons. I mean, Ghost went on a trip the week before. I think I was doing something.
Well, no, know, the week before is when I was leaving for my trip, and then I came back, and I'd been up for so long that.
Oh yeah, it took you a full week to recover from a 3-day
trip. That, I remember. And I was going into my daughter's college graduation, so there was stuff I had to prepare and get, you know, get food and do this and do that. It was just, I came back into a fucking busy ass fucking week, and you know what I mean. And it went from okay, somewhat busy counting shit, whatever. I treated it like a vacation because the furthest south I've ever been was Jacksonville, Florida, and I got to go down to. We flew into Orlando, and then it was over by Daytona, where we were. And it was like, wow, this is really cool. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know, and asked a lot of questions and ate some good food. But anyway, yes. So I was on a work trip and then come back into my daughter graduating. So yes, we are okay. We did not break up. We held hands and FaceTimed frequently and kissed the screen as much as possible while we were apart.
Yeah, I wonder if like when people ask if we're okay, if we're like, did you guys have a falling out or like, are you guys alive? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I wonder what they're asking, but I assume they ask if we're alive. But because yeah, there's no breaking up this team.
No,
you can
try
all you want.
We're Pisces strong.
Pisces strong. That's a great shirt.
Hashtag Pisces strong. The second movie I watched, wasn't too impressed with it. The original was way better, and it was the newest release of Beetlejuice.
Oh yeah, the Beetlejuice. I actually saw part of that, and it was fun. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it was fun, but the original was better. And this is going to
always better.
Sound really odd. I think the special effects and the way they did them back then were better than the new one.
Yeah, because they were more like claymation. I love claymation.
Yeah,
love claymation.
They did a little bit more cartoony with this one. And it was just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't, just didn't fit. I mean, Tim Burton
did both of them, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So, yeah, I feel like, yeah, I don't know. When you have more resources, Tim Burton's had to have lost some of his creative juice. He's had to have, because he's so fucking rich now. And like, you know, he's done everything. He's probably just kind of phoning it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like when you're new to doing this stuff at a high level, it seems like, you know, you're probably getting some things fed to you, like some great ideas from some producers and stuff. And, you know, taking those to the max, like those Tim Burton Batmans, dude, those are forever the best Batmans to me, you know, with Michael Keaton. I think even fucking George Clooney was Batman in one of them. And then Val Kilmer was one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, dude, the Tim Burton Batmans are still better to me. Like, everyone likes The Dark Knight because of Heath Ledger, but dude. For me, all day Tim Burton Batmans. Michelle Pfeiffer is Catwoman, superior to Halle Berry as Catwoman. Halle Berry is a very attractive woman, but Michelle Pfeiffer is my Catwoman. You know what I mean?
Okay, I get it.
The whole list of bad guys, right? Like, Two-Face with, I forget his name, the guy that played Men in Black with Will Smith.
I know who you're talking
about. Tommy Lee Jones. You had Arnold Schwarzenegger as Dr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fucking Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
And you had Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
That's the same one as Michelle Pfeiffer. It's mm-hmm. the same.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Movie. And yeah, dude, I mean, that guy is the Penguin. You know what I mean? There's no other Penguin other than Danny DeVito, so... I don't know. And Michael Keaton is the best Batman. He was perfect as Batman.
And yes, Hank, our personal lives are doing great. And you're right. There is no separating the lips. Once they're stuck together, they're... I mean, we get lubed up every now and again.
There's this little... twat's tight.
Yeah.
all right. So look, let's get into this one. This is just some photos real quick, just to break up some of the clips.
Okay.
You can go ahead and pull this up now. There are pigeons flying around that are not even real pigeons. They're literal remote control pigeons flying drugs around.
Flying drugs?
Yes. There's pills in that pigeon's backpack there. You see it right on top. So, you know, for everyone, there's a bunch of weed in a pigeon. There's some kind of narcotic in this pigeon here. But, you know, for people that were saying that we're crazy for thinking that it's possible that birds are fake, here you fucking go. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying all birds are fake, because I've killed a dove and seen its guts. I've seen mm-hmm. that before.
I've killed turkey. I've killed chickens. They're real.
I think that those conspiracies like that, they say all birds are fake mm-hmm. to make it sound crazy. And right. it's like, yeah, dude, there's no fucking way all birds are fake.
No.
There are fake birds flying around.
No, spiders. When I was in line to go into my daughter's graduation, dude, they had like drones flying around filming everybody, like coming in, like all the family members and stuff. I looked over and I caught movement out of my eye. I thought it was a bird. I'm like, oh, fuck, there's a drone. Walk about 10 more steps. I'm like, there's another fucking drone. Like, it's fucking nuts. But the drone technology, I think, is what they kind of put into these birds. And... I mean, drug cartels and drug dealers, they're always going to be creative and try to get the next step up. Because what cops, if this wasn't put out, what cop would be like, I better go see if that bird is real and has drugs on it?
I better make sure that bird's not smuggling a kilo of cocaine in a warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You can close out of this, man. I just wanted to show those pictures of birds carrying drugs. And those are fully remote control birds, pigeons carrying what looks like, I don't know, 200 fucking maybe ecstasy pills. Fentanyl would be a great thing for them to try and move because it's so hard to move. But yeah, I think that's a fun one, you know?
Absolutely.
Let's make it fun. Now, we got a few other ones here.
Ooh, there's some food.
Yeah, we'll break this up with a little food too.
All right.
Okay. So. I love this channel. There's this history channel. It's Mixing Food and History. It's called History Eats, I think. Okay. And this guy goes through, I think I might have shown some stuff where, you know, or maybe you're familiar with it on your own, but this dude will go through and look at, like, ancient Aztec recipes and Viking recipes and Roman Colosseum recipes, Egypt, all this different shit. And this one was interesting for a little tidbit that he throws in that I was not aware of at all. And so that's why I saved this one. But I recommend this to any foodies out there, you know, like ourselves. Yes. You know, if you want to check it out and get some unique ideas. Very kind of rustic cooking, obviously.
Speaking it's of food, old shit. How about that breakfast sandwich Joe made for his wife, Jen?
Joe made a lovely breakfast on Mother's Day. It's like a bagel, egg, and bacon sandwich.
With avocado.
With avocado, soaked in buttermilk and deep fried.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was like a buttermilk batter. And yeah, it looked, I mean, I would suck Joe's dick if you made that for me. So
yeah, I probably would too.
Check this out though. This is a cool little video. And like I said, look for the interesting fact.
Okay.
Alcatraz is coming back, so let's cook and rate what the prisoners ate on the rock. Welcome back to Eats History. Today, I'm making an Alcatraz supper menu for March 13th, 1956 of a frankfurter, parsley potatoes, buttered carrots, sauerkraut, and banana pudding. So you probably imagine one of our most guarded prisons in America holding some of our country's worst criminals that the food would be terrible. But believe it or not, Alcatraz was notorious for serving great dishes. The food was reportedly so good that even the guards and the staff ate the same meals as the prisoners. The warden believed that most prison riots were caused by crappy food, so if America's worst criminals ate well, they'd behave. The prison held some of the most notorious criminals in American history. Al Capone, once the ruler of Chicago's criminal empire, the infamous George Machine Gun Kelly, and Robert Stroud, the so-called Birdman of Alcatraz. Alcatraz officially closed its doors in 1963 due to rising logistic costs and decaying infrastructure. But in 2025, news broke out that the president just announced that Alcatraz will supposedly reopen once again to being a federal prison. So with The Rock officially back in action, let's make a meal from it. I'm making the supper menu for March 13th, 1956, serving up grilled frankfurters with mustard, some parsley potatoes, buttered carrots, a side of sauerkraut, and a dessert of banana pudding. And yes, I skipped the chili because that just seemed overkill. This was a pretty fire American classic of a meal. The butter carrots turned out amazing, and I personally love banana pudding. If you want to do an Alcatraz night with your friends or family, give it a try. 8.7 out of 10, and follow for more historical cooking.
Did you know Alcatraz was opening back up?
I did not know that.
Did you not know that was the thing I was looking for you to spot? No?
No, I was sitting there looking for a food fact.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was just that Alcatraz is coming back.
I did not know that. That's pretty fucking cool. That is pretty fucking cool. Because I was sitting here thinking, even before he said that, I was like, man, they should fucking reopen that. Or it'd be cool to... I'd love to go tour it.
I wanted to go tour it when we were there. But I went there one time. Me and like three friends went there in like 2013 or 14 or something. And it was all booked up, you know, so like a lot of people go there and check it out. We settled for the fucking speedboat that goes under the Golden Gate Bridge instead, and it was gay.
You should have jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge.
I think you live, wouldn't you?
You
might suffer a broken leg or two.
No, it's very rare. Most people die from impact.
It didn't look that high.
It's high.
We drove under it, and I was like, didn't look that high.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think about jumping off of it.
Well, no. I mean, you're not suicidal.
That's true. Not yet.
Not yet.
How high is the... well, see, this is... I feel like they're going to say the top of the Golden Gate Bridge. How high is the Golden Gate?
Or Google, what is the survivability rate if you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge?
Well, hold on. I'm seeing how high it is from the water. 220 feet?
Mm-hmm.
That's not 20 stories, man. I drove under that thing. I feel like they're talking about from the tops.
I don't know. I just know.
Unless that water's shallow as fuck, I feel like I could do that.
No, it's not shallow. It's cold. But yeah, most people fucking die. Like, it's very rare. Like, when someone jumps off and they live, they make a big fucking deal about it.
220 feet. That's 20 stories.
Yeah, you reach terminal velocity.
Sure,
you're falling 33 feet per second per second.
It is safe to jump in the water? Let's see. How high is too dangerous to jump into water. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. 10 feet? I mean, I've jumped off a 10-foot high dive before. Here, like a cliff, not a high dive, yeah. A cliff.
I mean, 10 feet, landing the that's wrong way at down. 10 foot. I mean, you could jump off a roof that's at the edge is 10 feet to the ground, and you could fucking die. Here's what Hank says: you got to break the tension, the surface tension of the water before you hit. That's what kills you.
Oh, so Hank's not only a fucking professional baseball player; he's a professional diver.
Oh yeah, you did. You haven't seen him in a Speedo doing his cliff jumping. He does it for Red Bull.
Well, dude, so look, this is actually pretty nuts because it says, look, 26 feet or whatever, or 20 stories, my bad. So it says at 20 feet, you reach a speed of 25 miles an hour on impact with the water. You could potentially lead yourself to temporary paralysis, spinal compression, broken bones, or concussions. And then higher heights, cliffs, bridges, they drastically increase the risk. So that's 10 times higher than a height that could give you spinal compression or temporary paralysis.
Yeah.
So you're probably right about that. I think 20 stories might be a little much.
A little bit.
It didn't look that high.
It probably doesn't because you're right up next to it. So you know what I mean? I've been in New York City once and looking up at a skyscraper and I'm like, it looked fucking tall, but it didn't look as when you're standing next to it and looking up, you're like, oh, okay. You know, yeah, it's high. I'd say maybe 100 feet, but yeah. You know, it's way more than or whatever. It could be more or less. It just one of those things. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it does make sense. You probably get down to like 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, something like that falling. And then, yeah, you're just like, there's a moment where your body kind of stops for just a second, right? When you're falling that high. And that second would be enough.
Forget how fast damage. Terminal velocity is.
How fast terminal velocity?
Mm-hmm.
How fast is terminal velocity? 120 miles an hour.
Yep.
Okay.
So after 60 feet, you hit terminal velocity.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or maybe it is 30 feet.
It's a fun fact.
Yeah. I learned that when we were learning how to do the rock climbing elements, like the rock wall at the juvenile center that I used to work at and what have you. And the guy kept drilling into our heads, you know, the high tower, when you're climbing up there, if you're belay, the guy that's on belay does not have you and you fall, you're going to hit terminal velocity. And that's, you're falling 33 feet per second. And I was like, whoa, that's fast.
33 feet per second. What's that mean?
That's just what he drilled in our heads.
Per second. Okay. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not going to do it.
No.
I was just thinking it would be possible.
No, you're not suicidal.
Yeah. All right. Here's a fun math one here. This one seems kind of cool as well. It's like, you know, the whole pi thing. I don't know if I understood this because I was on the phone when I was looking at these clips, but it looked interesting. It's basically talking about how, like, you can find your whole life through numbers and shit, which I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, let's see what it has to say.
Okay.
Here we go. Let's go.
This is pi, the ratio of a circle's circumference and diameter. No matter how big or small the circle is, this ratio always remains the same, a constant. This enigmatic constant is a sequence of digits that never repeats and never ends. An infinite sequence that is so random that every possible combination of digits could exist somewhere in pi. For example, your date of birth, your credit card number, every phone number you've ever dialed, all appearing within pi. Even letters, when coded as digits, are contained in pi. The name of every person you've met and will ever meet, the DNA of every species, and the poetic works of Shakespeare. Everything could appear within pi. It doesn't stop here. If digits represent pixels, which are used to create images, you could find everything that you've ever seen and that you will ever see lurking within the depths of pi. All knowledge that has ever existed or will ever exist, everything could be hidden deep within the ratio of a circle's circumference and diameter. Within this is pi.
That stuff gets a little deep for me.
But that's actually interesting because you have heard before that pi is like an infinite thing.
Right? It's an infinite number, yeah.
So that does make sense that every combination, like it never repeats. There's every combination possible in there. So your every phone number that you've ever had's in there. Your credit card number's in there. And if you translate those numbers to letters, that would all also be in there at some point. So everything is within that, what we call as kids, 3.14, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty deep, man.
Or March 14th.
Is that your birthday? No, your birthday's not then.
March 14th is Pi Day, 314.
Is that really a Pi Day?
Yeah, that's what they call March 14th. 314, 3.14 is pi.
Interesting. I like it. I did not know that. I didn't think about it. All right. We'll get into some other stuff here, too. This is so I actually noticed this the other day, and I was talking about this right now, that have you seen the moon, like how it's doing that smiley face thing? Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Like where instead of it coming from the side, that crescent, it's coming from the bottom?
Yeah, me and my daughter always called that the what's the cat from Alice in Wonderland?
Cheshire Cat?
Yeah.
So you'd seen that before?
Mm-hmm.
The where it's going like this, not from the side?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd never seen that. I've never noticed it. But, okay, well, then I'm not going to play this clip because this lady was saying that that's never happened before.
So it has. I remember my daughter was probably like 6, 7, because the newest version, well, she likes both versions of Alice in Wonderland. She likes the original and she likes the remake with Johnny Depp. We used to watch that all the time. And she would always call it, when she saw the moon, look, it looks like the, I'm trying to think how she said it. The Tressa cat?
She couldn't, the Tressa cat. Yeah, the Teresa cat.
Yeah, because she couldn't say the Cheshire, that cat. And she'd be like,
I can't say it either.
Yeah, she's like, Dad, look, it looks like the Tressa cat. Because in the movie, the smile like that, it turns into the teeth and the cat comes out.
Huh. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No, I this lady was just sitting here talking about how this has never happened, so fuck her. Okay.
Those goddamn internet trolls.
I know, it's crazy. Are you aware of the dead internet theory?
I've heard about it.
Trolls, where it's like, you know, most of the shit online is like fabricated shit, like whether it's articles or photos or anything like that. That's kind of a fun thing. I got a clip on that. We can look at that in a second, but you just brought it up, so I was thinking, but I wanted to get into this water one.
Okay. We are water signs.
We are both water signs. It's I hate how much you bring up zodiac stuff. You just love talking about it, though. You know, I feel like we need to fuck because you just keep talking about zodiacs with me.
We do. It's been a while.
You're right.
It's been like 2 weeks.
All right. Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. All right. Here we go. Water.
Did we solve that? Like, did we actually manage to vaccinate everyone in the world? No. So highlighting water is a global commons and what it means to work together and see it both out of that kind of global commons perspective, but also the self-interest perspective, because it does have that parallel. It's not only important, but it's also important because we haven't managed to solve those problems, which had similar attributes. And water is something that people understand. You know, climate change is a bit abstract. Some people understand it really well. Some understand it a bit. Some just don't understand it. Water. Every kid knows how important it is to have water. When you're playing football and you're thirsty, you need water. So there's also something about really getting citizen engagement around this and really, in some ways, experimenting with this notion of the common good. Can we actually deliver this time in ways that we have failed miserably other times? And hopefully we won't keep failing on the other things, but anyway.
What?
They're trying to get water to be the next crisis. And there's
okay. Yeah, we've kind of went through this already.
We've dabbled. Now, there was other clips on that. I just thought that was the most concise of the ones that I had seen. That, I mean, dude, that's something that a lot of people would get behind just blindly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If water's in shortage, that would freak a lot of people out.
Oh, so, man, when we were getting ready to turn over to the year 2000, oh, my God, people couldn't stop stockpiling water. They thought the fucking whole world was going to fucking end.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's so funny, man? It's like, I remember the year 2000 and my parents, like, I would have never known that that was a thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, my parents were just like, yeah, let's go celebrate New Year's. And like, we went out, we went over right. to my aunt's house watching fireworks. And I just remember it was 99 going to zero. And I was like, wow, this is so cool that I get to see this as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no, like, there was no fear about it. There was no, like, nothing. It was just like,
it's funny. Yeah, as a little kid, dude, I was fucking hammered.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was not. I was, I think it was like 7 or 8.
I remember we played at the club on base. They played Prince's "Party Like It's 1999."
That's sweet.
It almost was like on repeat that whole night until the new year. You know what I mean?
Kind of has to be.
Oh, hell yeah. But yeah, it was crazy because I remember being on base. You'd walk into every building and they'd have these little stickers, Y2K okay, Y2K okay. Like, they had to like make sure that all this equipment was going to be okay to transition. Because I don't know who fucking started it, but they're like, yeah, the date on a computer only goes to 1999. So if it hits 2000, everything's just going to fucking. Bleh.
Well, because they were doing, it was all two digits. Right, it was 99. It wasn't 1999. It was, you know, for, because when did the computers really come out? Like 80 something, really? Were they mainstream, like in workplaces? You searching that?
Yeah, oh. I would say mainstream. I'd say early 90s.
Early '90s.
Early '90s. Yeah, in
the workplace.
Because the internet came out right around what, 92, 93, somewhere.
No, the internet came out in the '80s.
No.
Yeah, it did.
It would have been like 89, if that.
I'm going to say 83.
Pooh, no. No internet then.
Literally, dude. January 1st, 1983. I fucking nailed it. I knew that shit. ARPANET, which is DARPA now, was a great success, but membership was limited to certain academic and research organizations who had contracts with the Defense Department. So,
oh, yeah. It started in the military. I'm saying for public use, though.
Well, no. It started in the 60s. So ARPANET was like business, like military contractors, but those are public jobs. Those aren't government jobs, right? Like people that work for Raytheon and people that work for, like, you know, defense contractors. Those are just normal citizens. They're not government employees.
Well, they are. They're a government citizen employee. They get a GS level, 1 through 15 or 20.
Okay. Ryan and I did a deep dive on our DARPA / social media in our first episode. Yeah. I mean, I remember being deep into DARPA. It was very interesting looking into that whole fucking thing that they're doing. When did the internet become mainstream? We'll say, late '90s and early 2000s, primarily due to the rise of the World Wide Web, or the WWW.
Yeah. Yeah. 'Cause Gore took credit for it all.
Yeah, he made the internet. I don't know, man. I think that it was just like one of those things that was blown out of proportion, but it does make sense if you look at it from two digits, but it's just got to reset. Like, what's it going to do when it gets to 99? Just like what an odometer does. It just resets to zeros, you know?
Starts all over.
Hindsight's always 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's roll into... let's do this, let's do a little political stuff.
Okay.
Okay. This is a black woman talking about how she was raised to be Democrat, but then she realized, you know, it's kind of stupid to be belonging to a particular party because of your skin color. And it says that she was born black, not Democrat. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important thing to kind of highlight for a lot of people. There's still people that believe that they need to be Democrat because they want to be tolerant, or they want to be an ally, or they're born with a certain skin color or a certain religion and they have to be a part of this party. And just like, who was it? Lyndon B. Johnson said that the blacks, and he did not say the blacks. He said a much more offensive word.
He used a hard R.
He used a hard R, and he said these hard R's are going to be voting Democrat for the next 200 years, was it?
200 or 150 years, something like that. A long fucking time.
A couple generations. Mm-hmm. So here we go.
When I first announced my run for Congress, I had this random white woman, liberal, walk up to me and ask, Well, what about you isn't Democrat? To which I responded, well, besides my skin color, what about me is Democrat? And it was at that very moment that she realized that God gave her enough common sense to ask me about my values. Now, don't get me wrong. I was raised to vote Democrat down the ballot. So when I first started, I would say things like, oh, I'm a Republican, but I'm not a conservative. But now I know all too well I am a full-fledged, hardcore conservative, and I'm proud of it. I mean, my favorite saying is I was born black, not Democrat. But in all seriousness, whenever I began to think for myself politically, the choice was easy. I mean, why would I want to belong to a party whose mission is to infringe on the Second Amendment as if a criminal would ever participate in something like a mandatory buyback? Why would I want to belong to and endorse a godless party? Because there is no such thing. And I mean, no such thing as a trans child. We have confused children and sick enabling adults. Why would I want to belong to a party that takes pride in shedding innocent blood? Number one, as if that's not what God hates. Number two, as if there's not a black market for baby organs. And number three, as if abortion clinics didn't start in the hood. Because if you think Trump is bad, you should research exactly who Margaret Sanger was. But speaking of the black community, why would I want to belong to a party who's responsible for the foundation of the Triple K? But it's not just that. Supposedly in the 1900s, the party switched, right? But what never changed, what I noticed never changed, is Democrats' love for immigration and how they have always prioritized that over the black community. I mean, imagine every single Democrat leader helping you joke about what a black job is in 2024, exposing your ignorance on 1924 and how imperative the Immigration Act of that year was, how it was all reversed in 1965 with the Hart-Celler Act, how Congress refuses the advice of the Rockefeller Commission and the Hess vs. Commission, and how to this day they refuse to adopt the Barbara Jordan blueprint, validating every single thing that Dr. Claude Anderson spoke of generally, but specifically what Mrs. King spoke of in 1991 with her letter to Congress. Now, look, I'm not saying that the Republican Party is perfect. No, nobody's perfect. What I'm saying is I saw with Malcolm X when he said that the liberals were the worst thing that could ever happen to the Western Hemisphere, but y'all ignore that, just like how y'all ignore LBJ saying, and I quote, I'm going to have Negroes voting Democrat for the next 200 years, and by God, 60 years later, I see no sign of recourse, but rest assured, your vote is your voice, even if it is a whisper.
I like what she has to say.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I remember the whole thing about Malcolm X too, talking about, I mean, I don't remember because I wasn't alive, I don't think. When was Malcolm X? When did he die?
80s? Maybe 70s.
Okay, so yeah, he was right around when Martin Luther King was doing his thing, which was in the 60s, obviously. Yeah. So, yeah, people ignore that. People ignore, like, you know, all these rappers that talk about support Kamala Harris and all this stuff during that last election cycle. They're all talking about, like, yeah, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. Malcolm X was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like if you put a gun to, Martin Luther King was a Republican. If you put a gun to Malcolm X's head, he would be a Republican, too, if he had to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
Because he fucking hated the liberals, man. Like, that liberal party, it's keeping people weak. You know, it's keeping people poor.
Keeping them weak. They tell them what they have to think. They don't support free thinking. And you see that anytime someone like her comes out and like, I'm a free thinker. I did my own research. Dude, they get fucking hated on. Called Uncle Toms, all sorts of shit. And it's bullshit. And it's like, you could do the same research that lady did. And come to the same fucking conclusion.
Well, what's nuts is, and it sounds like an ignorant thing to say, maybe, but I think that, I mean, black people need more black people to come out and talk like that, just so that they cannot be feeling like they have to vote or feel a certain way.
Right.
Just the same way as white people. There's white liberals and there's white conservatives. There's obviously, of course, there's black Democrats and there's black Republicans. But a wide majority of black people feel like they need to vote Democrat because that's the party that helps them, which it's not. It's the opposite.
Why do you think so many black people come out and they're like, I left the Democrat plantation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they feel like they're empowered there because they're surrounded by their own people, right?
Correct. And they're encouraged to stay in a certain state of poverty, just enough to get that government assistance where, and conditioned to the point where they don't realize if I just go get a better job or self-educate or try and get an education, whichever, I prefer self-education, and learn something new, learn a trade or whatever, I can go make more money and I can support myself and I don't have to rely on the government being my daddy.
Yeah. Well, and then you got to think too about like the hiring quotas that like some of these woke companies have where like, you know, at least, 20% of their workforce has to be black. That's a fucked up idea. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, American History X has this, and American History X is actually a very interesting movie. If you look into it, like, yes, there's a ton of racism in it, but it's shining a light on it where, you know, this fireman, a white fireman, got killed in that because they hired a couple of black firemen that weren't as good as some other white guys there, right? And that's not to say that black firemen can't be as good as white firemen, but they're hiring people based off their skin color to fill quotas, and then that's potentially also eliminating that entire police force from being black because they have to have 20%. It can't be 100%, you know? It can be 20.
Right.
It's like, what if there's 10 black dudes and 10 white dudes, and those 10 black dudes are better than the 10 white dudes? The white guys that own that, or the white government people that own that or that oversee that fire department, they're only hiring 2 out of those 10 guys instead mm-hmm. of all 10 of those guys. So it goes both ways. It was a really, really interesting part of that movie. And I think that the whole idea of just voting something based on a religion or your skin color is very, very interesting. But we're talking about race, and another thing that gets into that is income, right? I think that's the bigger divide here, right? I've said it many times on this show and on my own show. I have more in common with like the average black dude, middle class black dude, than I do with, let's say Jeff Bezos or George Bush or fucking Trump, right? Mm-hmm. I have more in common with a black dude or someone that looks different than me, that makes the same amount of money as me and has like a similar job to me, similar, you know, everything, similar life, than I do with these guys. Just like a black guy has more in common with me than he would with Obama or Jay-Z or any of these black people that tell black people how to vote. So the bigger divide here is poor and rich. And this is an interesting little clip. It's AI generated, I believe, but it's using Family Guy voices. You know, I like my cartoons.
You do.
And this is a really, really cool clip. So it's talking about the real problem, not about skin color and different religions and races. It's about the income inequality. So here we go.
Dad, I heard poor people are actually useful to the system and the elites. But like, that makes no sense, right? They don't even have money to help the economy.
That's what they want you to think, but let me break it down for your nugget brain. Poor people are the perfect fuel. They work the longest hours, take the worst jobs, and still thank the system for crumbs.
Wait, so they're deliberately kept poor?
Exactly. They're not useless. They're essential. Who cleans the offices at night? Who packs the Amazon boxes? Who flips the burgers and drives the Ubers? The system doesn't want them gone. It wants them tired and trapped.
But wouldn't it be better if people had more money?
Not for them, dummy. A poor man with energy might build his own thing, might escape. So the game is, give him just enough to survive, but never enough to rest, think, or build.
So that's why after work, people feel like zombies?
Exactly. After a 10-hour shift, there's no energy left for freedom. And 80% of what they earn? Gone on rent and food.
That's not even living.
It's economic slavery, just without chains. The poor are taxed more, blamed more, and worked more, all while being told they're lazy.
And the rich?
They don't want workers. They want dependents. People who clock in, shut up, and never question the loop. That's why they flood media with hustle myths, fake motivation, and empty opportunities.
So the whole system is built on broken backs?
Yep. The wealth of the top 1% runs on the exhaustion of the 99. They don't need you rich. These people with funny hats need you too poor to rebel.
Now I see it, fat man, but what should I do?
You study the system, then build outside of it, because poverty isn't an accident. It's an algorithm. Follow for more, and tag a friend who might need it.
It's very true.
Peter. He's dropping some knowledge there. Yeah, dude, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's not something that I've thought about. You kind of know it when you hear it, but it's not something I've thought about in that way. So how long have we been going here?
Hour 15. We can wrap hour if you 15. Want.
Yeah, let's wrap up here. I do enjoy some of these funny ones. We'll end on this last funny one here. We're talking about doing our own research and whatnot. This is... you know, exactly kind of what you were getting at. I wanted to play this earlier, but I figured we'd save it for the end.
Okay.
Doing your own research used to be just known as reading, and that used to be a good thing. So right. Here is, I think this is Jimmy Dore talking about this, but here he is.
To get informed about that, other people shame them. They would say, please tell me you're not going to do your own research. You've heard people say that. Please don't do your own research. You know, before COVID, doing your own research used to be called reading. Now you're shaming me for reading? At the behest of Big Pharma? It's like I woke up in the middle of a Bill Hicks bit. Well, looks like we got ourselves a reader. Tell me, boy, what you reading for? Don't you know everything that needs to be read has already been read by a smart person? That's how much people internalized the propaganda from Big Pharma, was that they would be anti-intellectual enough to shame people for reading while they're wagging their finger at them for doing it. You would never shame people for trying to get informed, no matter what other subject it was, no matter how unimportant. Like if I say, hey, I'm gonna go buy a car, don't look into it. Well, how will I know which car to get? Ask the salesman. He's the expert. What are you, Henry Ford? To get informed about...
Quoting the late, great Bill Hicks.
Yeah, Bill Hicks is great.
Hell yeah.
Let's wrap it.
And he makes a point.
Yeah.
It used to be called reading.
Yeah, I don't know what went wrong. I mean, you see these you know, people out there that have, you know, they're older and they don't have any critical thinking. You know, it's it's because that, you know, I think that the system kind of makes people this way, right?
Absolutely.
You know, public education. Yeah. I mean, you're supposed to all think the same way, and if you think different, then you're the weird one.
Right.
But I mean, it's all the ones that thought different that gave you all of the fucking inventions that you have today. You know, all of the creations that we have and like the things that we use, those are people that thought different.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you got to think at least a little bit different to fucking, I mean, I think even just be even in the world today, not even get right. ahead.
Exactly. All right, here we go.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, dickhead?
You are a cunt.
Oh, that's sweet music. That's sweet music.
I'm going with the MLB for my cunt of the week.
MLB? Mm-hmm. What'd they do?
They kept shoeless Joe Jackson, which I forget what he was banned for, and Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame until after their death.
Okay.
Over some dumb bullshit.
I mean, I think it'd be great to go secretariat for making the Kentucky Derby a nepotism event, but it's not his fault. He's just got great genes.
And he liked to fuck. I mean, what horse doesn't? Well,
you know, they were extracting his semen.
Right.
Just inject thousands of horses. To be, you know, like, yeah, let's cash in on this.
Some little poor boy was out there jacking him off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some fucking stable boy was out there fucking getting it done. But no, I think I got to go the WHO with this. If this water crisis idea is actually a real thing, I think that's, you know, it's just a diabolical idea. You can't really take away the things that people just need to simply survive. Like,
right.
Yeah, you priced a lot of people out of being able to buy new homes, cars, all these things. Like those are, at the end of the day, those aren't necessities.
And the inflation on food that we saw over the past 4 years. Like,
right.
All right,
right.
Guess I'm going to have to fucking cook on an extremely small budget and make a little go a long ways.
Yeah. So, I mean, food's a necessity, but I mean, water is the quintessential necessity that human beings need. So, if this is a real thing and they're trying
fuck with that. 3 days.
3 days is the longest you can go. And out here, man, it's probably about a day. I'll tell you that right now. If you're outside where I'm at without any water or any nutrients for a day, you're probably getting brain damage at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, fuck the WHO, man. Fuck them. Big time.
And not the band.
Yeah, band's all right.
Yeah. So, sponsors, purepetwellness.com. Go there. Enter Ghost or DWP at checkout. That's Pure Pet Wellness, Ghost or DWP. That's DWP or Ghost at checkout. You get 20% off your entire order. That's purepetwellness.com for all your pet CBD needs. You can kind of use them on yourself. They don't recommend it, but it's American-owned, operated, mom-and-pop store right out of California. Nico and his family have put this together because they had sick dogs and wanted to get them healthy in a more natural way without having to go through the veterinary system and what have you.
Yeah, without using the fentanyl that all those vets try and give the dogs.
Right.
And the
and Trank and all that other shit. So that's purepetwellness.com, DWP, or Ghost. At checkout, you get 20% off your entire order anytime you order. You can order as many times a day as you want. Also, go over to DangerousWorldPodcast.com and buy a shirt. You know, we had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was rocking the G.I. Joe theme when I was on my work retreat. I wouldn't say a retreat. Acquisition. Yeah, go there. Ryan makes great shirts. They're comfortable. Pick your size. They're accurate. They're American sizes. You know what I mean? So if you are a large and you order a large, you're going to get a true large. And they're soft. I mean, you could sleep in them if you want to. Wear them as pajama tops. I don't know. Do whatever. Get kinky with it. But go over to DangerousWorldPodcast.com. I think that's it. Other than Patreon, you can sign up. Enter our podcast name. That'd be Dangerous World Podcast or My Third Eye Podcast. Pick your tier. Sign up. Ryan puts out the videos over there. I don't. My videos are on the X for free. Other than that, what are we?
Oh, fuck. I forget. A Lip Above.
Oh, we are A Lip Above.
You thought I forgot.
I know. And on that note, yes, we are safe. We didn't break up. We love each other. We're two lips stuck together in a dry spell with no dick. And on that note, we will see you next Tuesday.
1, 2, 3, 4. I told you so. I told you. I told you so. I told you. Remember when I told you about 9/11? Remember when I told you about Building 7? Remember when I told you about the fluoride in the water? Yes, I did. Remember when I told you about the New World Order? Remember that? Remember when I told you about the chemtrails in the sky? Remember when I told you that NASA was full of lies? Remember when I told you about the ultra mind control? Well, I just wanna say that I told you so, yeah. Remember when I told you about 432 hertz, that is, and what 440 can do to you? It hurts my ears. Remember when I told you about the vaccine agenda? Yes, I did. And that Michelle Obama is a transgender. Yes, he is. The dinosaur fraud, the climate change scam, and yes, Sandra Bullock is also a man. Remember when I told you that there ain't no clone? Well, I just want to say that I told you so. 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 Remember when I told you about the TV flicker rate? And how it puts your brain in an alpha state? Remember when I told you about germ theory?
Remember when I told you about gravity? Remember that? Remember when I told you about Paul McCartney? Remember when I told you about direct energy? Remember when I told you about Monsanto? Well, I just want to say that I told you so. 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 Yeah. Remember when I told you about the mainstream media? Your so-called celebrities and pedophilia. Remember that child trafficking and adrenochrome. Remember when I told you about the Georgia Guidestone? Remember when I told you about the false flag operation? Remember when I told you about 5G radiation? Remember that I told you that? Well, I just want to say that I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Yeah, I told you so.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.